All right, welcome to the Spoiler Kings movie review show right here on the Nerd Huddle Podcast Network. I just want to make sure to let you guys know, hit that subscribe button so you know when we go live every Monday and give you what we think about the weekend's big box office movie. My name is Tink Kramer. I'm with Will, Peppa MD. How you doing, man?
Doing amazing, man. Doing great. Yeah.
Thank you, Oli, for sharing the stream. Appreciate it. Yeah, man. So you saw Black Widow, obviously. That's the whole point of it. Did you go to the movies or did you go to you stayed at home and got it on Disney Plus?
So I watched it at the movies. I felt like it was worth seeing at the theater just for the fact
that. No time wasted. We're getting into that a little bit after.
Yeah. But it was worth going back to the theater for sure. And things are getting normalized nowadays with, you know, everyone getting vaccinated. So I felt it was safe enough to go back to the theater.
Yeah. I saw it on Disney Plus, but I think I might go see it again. Oli already learned she loved it.
Oh, with, okay.
Like, 5 exclamation points. Awesome. Cool, man. So you want to do what we usually do? We'll do the trailer. And you do the little synopsis we got?
Yeah. Let's dig into what the movie's about. Let's do it.
All right. Let's go.
All righty. So Black Widow, Natasha Romanoff confronts her dark past when a dangerous conspiracy with ties to her past arises. She must team up with her former family to help clean her ledger. She is also pursued by a deadly assassin named Taskmaster that will stop at nothing to bring her down. Natasha must deal with her history as a spy, sister, and the manager, the broken relationships left in her wake long before she became an Avenger. This prequel takes place after Captain America: Civil War, right, and before Avengers: Infinity War on the MCU timeline of films. Family and forgiveness are some critical themes of Marvel's newest blockbuster. The MCU is finally back.
Woo! Yeah. This took a long time for it to get going.
Oh, man. This movie's been pushed back way too many times.
Yeah.
And it's cool because you get a nice little deep dive on her background. So we're seeing right here, who's that, right? Who's her sister, right?
Sister.
You got to put that in quotes.
Yelena. Yeah. Sister. And family.
Family, right. It was all for show. She's acting sister. Right. So I kind of still get the sister vibes from this, even though like they barely had a brief like moment in their childhood where they spent together.
Yeah. Yeah. It was only 3 years. I'll bring this down. Yeah. It was only 3 years that they were a family. It was kind of interesting, you know, but I guess when you don't have anything at all and then you're given some kind of normalcy, you kind of take it and run with it, kind of, I guess. Frito said his spank bait got updated, which is definitely a part of the movie that my girlfriend noticed when she was watching. She goes, there's a lot of Scarlett Johansson, but I was like, yeah,
this man approves
that there is. Man. Yeah, man, this was definitely another like family-heavy movie that I wasn't really expecting. I was waiting for Dom Toretto to come out with family. Seriously, I can't even talk about the themes. Yeah, which are the themes of this movie were definitely some of my favorite parts. You want to go first and talk about some of your favorite things of the movie?
Yes. The themes? So I always love a good prequel. I love a coming-of-age story of how someone got to be where they are. We learned that Black Widow is someone that has felt always out of place because she's been taken away from her family. We'll notice a few themes that we'll talk about in a second. One being child trafficking. Another thing being women not having power over their own bodies. That's been a big thing since the longest that we're going to dig into. And I like that these issues were addressed, right? We need to talk about these things and have an open discussion about the things that bother us and the things that need to be changed, right? Men in power, sometimes, actually a lot of the time, is not a good idea. And we've seen that time and time and again. Again, the things that I really liked, I liked the actresses and the actors in this film. Her sister plays a great, like, badass little sis that comes into into play. Her dad was like the Russian, played by Hopper off of Stranger Things. I forgot his actual actor name.
David, jeez, can't remember his name. It was David something.
He does an amazing job. He he can drop the accent, the Russian accent, on and off, which is pretty cool. Didn't see that coming. One thing, family is a big theme that in this one, that if you don't have one, you can always find family with someone else, even if you're not blood. What did you like about the film? What kind of things stood out to you?
Dude, it was just overall so like a good story. I was expecting a good movie because Marvel knows how to make a good movie. I wasn't expecting a movie to have to go so deep in certain things, you know, like you said, you know, like you know, child trafficking, human trafficking, you know, like kind of like women's rights, you know, to their own bodies, kind of thing like that. always said it has a lot of pockets. That was another thing, like something so simple as the vest that no one thought about in Infinity War became such a big part in this movie. They're like, oh, check that out, you know, and it's like, It means so much more in that movie, which I love, you know. But you know, Rachel Weisz was the mom. David Harbour was, you know, Red Guardian. Florence Pugh was the sister, and then obviously Scarlett Johansson. Holy crap! They were so something about all of them together were really good. I mean, Rachel Weisz is an amazing actress anyway. Florence Pugh is definitely kind of like going up. Midsommar she was in, you know, this the big one she was in with the WWE one, the family one where she plays the kind of the story of the British chick,
Paige. I know what you're talking about.
She's
the mom of that.
She was the kid, the younger version of her.
She played the younger main kid.
She played Paige, you know. I think as the youngish mid-teenager kind of thing, but she was in there, so she's good. But one thing I know real quick, we were talking about what I read today was that Florence Pugh, which is Yelena, the sister, she said she had a fight for there's a fight for a joke that kind of happened, and it was a joke, but it was a really like interesting part where you kind of laugh at it, and then you're kind of like, why did I laugh at that? Because it's kind of like jacked up. But they save Red Guardian from like this prison he's in, and he's like, oh, what's your problem? You guys are on your time of the month. And she made the joke. She goes, oh, we don't get periods because, you know, we involuntarily had our uteruses, you know, removed from us and blah blah blah. And it was kind of like the way she was saying it was kind of like joking about it, but also It wasn't. It was like a weird like in between, which I thought and only her character could do that, and I thought she did that really well. But from what I was reading today, is she had a fight for that. She was like, no, I want to keep that in. That's kind of important. I'm like, that's like super important, you know.
It's
like, you know, guys like, oh, it's that time of the month. Well, actually, you know, thanks to, you know, all these dickheads, you know, that's not a problem anymore, you know. So. Oof. So that's like not fun, but yeah, definitely like I don't know how you felt, but that beginning sequence where they play the cover from Nirvana, the Teen Spirit.
Oh yeah, that was nice.
And they show all the things. Right at that moment, I knew this movie was gonna be epic, epic, epic. The whole beginning intro where they're kids, super awesome, really cool, awesome. But then the song, the way it was covered with all the glimpses of the kids being like kidnapped and this and that, I was like so emotional, and powerful. We're barely like 10 minutes in the freaking movie, like we haven't even got to anything too important yet, you know. And I was like, oh man, I'm like, this is gonna be a good movie, because it went but yeah, I don't know, man. What were some parts like for you that kind of like really like stood out?
So for me, let's see, something that really stood out to me besides everyone else. I don't know, man. I did, I did like the how they set this up, right? So, of course, we mentioned it in the synopsis. This is right after Civil War. Yeah. I liked how they kept Black Widow's character really, like, with the internal struggles. You can see it in her face expressions. You can see that she's on the run. She talks about how she's on the run because of what she did for Captain America shooting Black Panther to kind of immobilize him temporarily. We're talking about that.
Yeah, so I loved it. It was such a good song. It was a great, great, great cover.
Yes. And what was I saying? Her internal struggles was something that really stood out to me, that everyone goes through things where they don't know, or not everyone, but a lot of people go through a phase where they don't know if they fit in, right? Even if it is with family. There's a lot of times where family may not be on the same wavelength as us, but someone, you know, a close friend, they may understand us, and that makes them family type things. And we got a lot of that in this film. Even with the younger sister, right, quote unquote sister, all this, when they were together as a young family, it was fake. It was like kind of staged, and it was just to, I guess, keep them safe kind of deal. Maybe you want to touch on that.
It was an act. Yeah. So they were, it was a whole espionage kind of thing. There was a TV show called The Americans that wasn't out too long ago. That was kind of the same thing. So you had the fake mom and dad and fake kids, and they pretended to be a family. So Russia, the evil communist country, can steal our information, you know? Yeah. So that was like what was going on. They were like in some town in Ohio, and he got a floppy disk, which is kind of funny. You know, like that which also real quick, I don't mean to cut you off too much. Okay. That also reminded me how like everything in the 90s, like the whole world was always going to end because somebody got their hands on some floppy disk. And it was always like, you know, like that evil thing. So I thought that was like, for me, is like a funny, hacky thing, you know, from the 90s, you know, which is that time frame they were playing around, was everything on a floppy disk, you know, we're going to all die. but that's why they were in America and they were all like being a family.
Yeah. But then they get sniffed out and the government kind of goes for them, all that stuff. But the action scenes in here were pretty dope. I don't know if it was the first action scene, but the action scene where, what's her name? Yelena, she sends these vials, right? These important vials that they're in, an anecdote for a mind control thing that.
Or what's like his name? Clean the mind control, I think it was.
It's to like rid you of the mind control if you are under some kind of mind control.
Yeah.
When they go to meet up with each other, they don't trust each other at all. Natasha's been had big trust issues her whole life, even with the MCU, right? She didn't know if she could trust, you know, Cap, Hulk. She's been having these. And here's the thing. I almost thought that she, and this is messed up with me, and I apologize for toxic masculinity, but I really thought she was trying to get at the Avengers for like her own personal like benefits. And that wasn't the case. She just really was looking for family. She was looking for these connections. I kept thinking that she was like sleeping around or something. And again, I apologize. But that's the kind of like vibe that I got from her. But now after watching this film, I see that's not the case. She's really looking for a place to stay. Like, in, you know, bless her soul. She tries to get that.
Yeah, I think, you know, that was a big scene where she was like, it was real to me, you know, because like, you know, Natasha was like, oh, it was fake. You're not my real dad. You're not my real mom. You're not my real sister. It's like, it was all bullshit. Yeah. And then like, that was a really good scene too, where she was just like, it was real to me, you know, and I was like, man, you know, that kind of like hits you in the gut a little bit. It was like, it was fake, but, you know, at what point you're like, I do care for these people, you know, and it's like, and then that's the only kind of, you know, family you ever really known. So you kind of attach yourself to that.
Right.
But, Oli said, I'm a little confused on the Red Guardian saying he fought Captain America. Was it Bucky that he fought or Isaiah? Which we found out Isaiah was, you know, a Captain America, I guess, or a version of Captain America, unofficial, from that we found out from Falcon and Winter Soldier show. I don't know. I just assumed he was lying, kind of thing, because he never fought Captain America because he was on ice the entire time, he was, that Red Guardian was big. So I assumed he was lying, but now that I think about it, it could have been Isaiah. I don't think it was Bucky, because they were kind of on the same side with the whole Winter Soldier program and Russians and all that stuff. So I don't think it was Bucky, but I could see it being Isaiah. That would be interesting.
It kind of sounded like he was just talking a big game.
That was funny. And that pissed her off. She goes, "You haven't seen me in, you know, 20 years, and all you care about is yourself, and, like, you know, does Cap care about you? Like, get out of here, man." That was funny.
But that first scene when they're fighting, that got me, man. They're telling a little 5-year-old, "There's no Santa." What?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, that first fighting scene, was it me or were you also hoping that when they were, like, going in the plane and getting chased by S.H.I.E.L.D. that Coulson was in there? I was like, come on, I want to see, Coulson. That would have been super cool, man. Like,
a missed opportunity.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. I mean, whatever, but it's also, I was like, oh, come on, that would have been. Maybe not Sam Jackson, but definitely Coulson. That dude ain't doing nothing right now anyway. You know. But yeah, man, what were some things that you didn't like about the movie?
I got a few. I'm trying to really think. I really didn't have much, many things that I disliked. The flow of the movie, very nice. It wasn't too long of a movie. I think it was about 2 hours, but, like, a well-deserved 2 hours, because they have to explain lot of stuff. I don't know, man. I think this movie was kind of a hit to me. As much as I'm just, you know, bawling over this movie, I don't know. I didn't dislike much. I guess maybe the acting, I kind of understand, right? So, I don't know. It's rough. It's hard to, like, show that you not care as a parent, right? So I'm talking about Rachel Wise and David Harbour, right? The fake parents. It's hard to, like, to show emotion that you don't care for somebody and then show that you care for them. When they all get reunited later in the movie, they act like everything is just resumed to family activities again. Like, so they have this scene where Natasha's like, oh, I forgot, she gets upset over something. And the dad's like, oh, like stop complaining or whatever. And, like, they had this little, like, family moment. And it's like, wait, like, are they done acting as parents? Or are they still, like, have that vibe?
Yeah, the poser part of it. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. I saw that too. It was like, but when they were, you know, bringing the family back together, I thought Red Guardian, which was Alexi, I think his name was, but Red Guardian, I thought he was more, like, happy. He's like, oh, look at my girls. You know, like, that whole scene, which I thought was funny. He goes, look, you're this, and you become this. And then he grabbed them. He's like, you guys must have killed so many people. I'm so happy. And I was like, because it's so funny. It's like, and then again, they bring up the whole Red in the Ledger kind of thing. So I'm like, you know, they tie that in, because the first few movies with Natasha, the whole time she's like, I need to clean the red in my ledger, and then Loki tells her that, and she says that like 5 times, and then it gets brought up in this movie a few times. But when they saw Rachel Weisz, which is Melina, she was a lot more cold, like you said, though, very standoffish, but not, you know, like the whole pig scene. Oh man, that was pretty rough. Like, when she mind controls. She's the one that figured out how to do mind control, which is super messed up. And she tested it on those pigs, and when she tells the pig to come in and just tells the pig to stop breathing, and it like almost dies.
Yeah.
Oh, it falls to the ground, and she was like, "Cool." She goes, it had like 10 more seconds before it died." I was like, fine. "What the fuck?" Yeah, I was like, "Man, that." But that was like, I'm like, at that moment, I'm like, "Is she good or is she bad?" Man. You know. And I honestly, still, I'm not 100% sure if she's good.
I'm on the fence with that too. Yeah.
At the end of this movie, she helped did what she did, and, you know, win the day and stuff like that.
But she seems shady. See, the way she did everything was like, I don't know.
Don't we find out later in the film that Melina, who's the mom, wasn't she one of those abducted girls herself? And didn't she go through that? And they talk about that? Yeah, she also went through the whole process of like dehumanizing her and making her an assassin. She also went through that. So she knows like what goes into the trauma that her two little girls, her fake little girls, went through. I kind of, it gave me vibes off of this one movie. And I can't really, I don't know if I can say this movie name because it's banned in so many countries, but it kind of gave me vibes off of, damn, what's it called? Remember that movie? 21 Days of Salo or something like that?
Yeah.
So in there, like the kids in there, right? They get also kind of abducted and traumatized and just things that are like really bad and traumatizing things. They get so desensitized. And so I'm wondering, and so if you've seen this 21 days, I don't even know, it's 120 days, 21 days.
120 days. Yeah. Of Salo. I want to tell people to watch it, but also it's a messed up movie, man.
It's a messed up movie.
Yeah, it's a messed up movie. It sounds stupid, but yeah, there's a bunch of movies I saw that you're kind of like, maybe I wish I didn't see that. You know?
Yeah.
And that's one of them. That's definitely one of those. But yeah, I get what.
So if you've seen that film, right, the 120 Days of Salo, there's like these like. These hosts, like, hostesses, don't watch it. It's messed up. There's these hostesses that they see all the trauma that's going on that they've also went through themselves that are going on to these kids, and it's so normalized to them to the point where they're like, oh yeah, it happens. This is life. I kind of got that same feeling from Melina, the mom. She was just so like, the pigs. He's not breathing. He won't breathe for another 5 seconds. Like, it's so like, man.
Yeah, I know.
Like, nothing's real to them. Feel like.
Yeah, very cold blooded. And I think when Yelena, the sister, says about the whole what happened, you know, with the Red Room, which is the Red Room is where the Black Widows kind of come from, which are all these female like killer assassins. She told her, she goes, you were psychological. Like, they broke you down and made you desensitized, and they like changed your mind. You know what I mean? Like, they brainwashed you in a sense. And she goes, they don't do that anymore. She goes, they just control you. You know, it's like, so I can see that being why, like, yeah, it was like a switch, like one girl wind up shooting herself and she didn't want to, you know?
Yeah.
And which was kind of crazy, you know, but which is like bonkers. But I can see that, like, you know, Melina being, or Melina being like desensitized because that was her programming. You know, mm-hmm. You know, same thing with like Natasha, you know, but Natasha was able to keep her heart. I think that was a big thing in the movie. Like, she was able to keep her sense of being a good person, you know, in it, or kind of, because she did some fucked up shit, as we find out in it. But for me, the one thing I really didn't like, what's your opinion on Ross? I didn't really have an opinion on Ross. I just thought, I'm like, he was just kind of there. I was like, eh. You know, like, I'm like, cool. He's going after all of the guys anyway. You kind of knew that, you know, in Infinity War. You know, he was just like that person. I want to see more of him later, you know, which was exactly what I was going to say. Red Hulk. I don't know if they're going to do it because he's so old. They had to de-age him for this movie.
Did they?
Yeah, because he doesn't look, and I'm like, you're only going back what, like 7 years, like theoretically, you know, like, you know, MCU timeline wise, you're only going back about 7 years, you know, and I'm like, I don't know if they can make him Red Hulk because I don't know, he's already so old. I can see them changing it a little bit, like they do some other character, which we'll talk about in a second, but one thing I didn't like about not really the film itself, but just like Disney and Marvel, is this movie should have came out after Civil War. I wanted to see this after Civil War, before Infinity War. It would have made more sense. At the end of this movie, I was like,
F you, Disney, for not having the balls to be the first female-led comic book character. You let DC run with that with Wonder Woman, and it stole the show. I thought Wonder Woman 1 was a great movie. Wonder Woman 2, not so much. But number 1 was awesome. And I'm like, that could have been Scarlett Johansson. That could have been Marvel. This movie was that good where I can see it being like, hey, we did it. We're awesome. We're the badasses. But you let DC do that. And that kind of like pissed me off. Mm-hmm. I was like, I think we would have cared more about Natasha. Wonder Woman for the win. They did it. No, not number two, though. Number two, 1984 was the complete opposite of Wonder Woman, the first one.
Yeah.
But that was another thing I about this movie. It wasn't like there was no love interest. There was no like, oh, I got to do it because I love him. It was like, it was family. It was like, I do it because I love my sister, even though she's not my real sister kind of thing. And I had more of a connection with that than like, I fell in love with some dude I just met 5 minutes ago, you know, but yeah. That, you know, the whole different argument. But that was one thing I was kind of really upset about. You know, I think I would have loved Black Widow in the final two Avenger movies more. had Natasha for, well, Wonder Woman would kill her. Like, no doubt. Like, no doubt. Like, that's not even a question.
An Amazonian.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but the actual film, the biggest thing I didn't like was Taskmaster. Mm. I thought it was such a waste of the character. Hopefully, maybe they can. I don't want to get like down on it yet, but hopefully they could do something in the future with it. But I don't see why. I hate that Marvel does a thing where everything has to be connected. Mm. Like everything doesn't have to be directly connected.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because in the comic book, it's a guy, which I'm like, cool, make it a girl. I don't mind. I don't care. Whatever. You know, right. You already got all the Black Widow thingies. But it was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that had some kind of powers and then, you know, takes some kind of medicine or whatever, gets amnesia and gets more powers. But he gets amnesia, so he forgets he's a good guy. And then he kind of becomes a bad guy. And the Taskmaster is huge. He trains, like, every bad organization, he trains them in the Marvel Universe. Like, he's a legit badass, you know? And in this one, Taskmaster was cool, but it was underutilized. And I don't know if they can continue doing the Taskmaster stuff with the way the movie ended. And I have to feel like it's such a cop-out because Taskmaster could literally go against everyone. I want to see him go against Spider-Man. I want to see him go against mm-hmm. Bucky. I want to see him go against the new Cap, you know? Like, I want to see that or her, you know, even if you keep it as her. And I felt like it was definitely more of a cop out. Like it wasn't a superpower; it was a chip in the back of her neck, and you know. And then her suit made her strong too. And I was just like, I'm like, I don't know. That was the only like thing. It was like she like Taskmaster wasn't the real bad guy of the film. It was just a piece, you know. And it was kind of like I was really upset about that one.
See, that's where I kind of fall short with the comic book knowledge. I wasn't too aware of the Taskmaster's like main character energy that they were supposed to give off. I did not know that. Marvel screwed us over with
Nat and Bucky. Yeah, because in the comic book they have a little relationship going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't need to be directly from the comic book. I'm fine changing things. You know, that's why if they change who Red Hulk is, I'm cool with that too. You know, I mean, they make it another, like, you know, I don't know, his niece or his nephew. I don't know. But this one, I just felt like you wasted such a great character. You know, it was super cool to watch, but also it was like, what are you gonna do with this great character going forward? You know, like, I have enough faith in Marvel that they could do something positive with Taskmaster, but also it was like they shouldn't even bother with Taskmaster in this movie. Just let the guy in charge of the Red Room be the main bad guy. You know, I mean, you already got like a dozen Black Widows, you know, like that can go after her. Why add this like little one that you're like, oh, see how it all connects and blah blah blah. I was like, oh no, like you don't have to do that.
Yeah,
you don't have to do that all the time.
I know that she was under mind control, but I did wish she had more of like a voice, I guess. Yeah, now that I'm kind of looking back, she didn't really speak. She was just like a robot, really.
Yeah, no. Which also kind of like goes back to your like the theme of like men controlling things. It was like you could have let your daughter die, which I know sounds sucky, but the alternative was turn her into like your personal killer robot. You know, I was like, how is that any better than just letting her die and be gone and not keep living some kind of like horrible life that he made her live? You know,
you know who did that role way better? DC with Cyborg. Ooh, he almost kind of lost his life, or like RoboCop.
Second time.
Or RoboCop, when you almost lose your life and you get a second chance and you get these all these emotions. That was all missing from this movie. There's no emotion. And that kind of like, that kind of took away from the buildup of this big ass villain that I'm now kind of learning that they were supposed to play a bigger role. And that kind of takes away points from the movie a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was like. Just have it be like some, you know, have it kind of keep to the comic, but like, oh, hey, she used to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, but then now I got her under mind control and she's got superpowers. You know, it doesn't have to be directly, you know, like, oh, that's the daughter that she killed and they did this. I was like, oh my God. Like, come on, Disney. At least we know what happened in Budapest, which was a whole funny thing. It was like how they pronounced it. Yeah. Budapest. I was like, that was funny. But yeah, that was awesome. That was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And they talked about it a few times.
They did. He has that quote where he's like, you and I remember Budapest very differently.
Yeah.
And this movie is the reason why. We see what they both went through. What did Clint go through in Budapest, though?
He helped her. So they, like, leveled Budapest, like, to get to the guy in charge of the Red Room. Like, they destroyed the entire city to get to that guy. Even Natasha said killing him was her last thing she had to do to go to S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, to like prove the S.H.I.E.L.D. she's, you know, better. And I guess he had helped her do it. But as they were doing it, she said something along the lines like they like level the whole city or something along those lines. So I think Fredo said, I thought Budapest was going to be more action. They showed one clip. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go like, because then that's like a flashback in a prequel. So then you're starting to get all like Inception-y when it gets to like, you know, how far back are we gonna go? But they talked about it, I thought, you know. And then she went back to her old house, you know, and had parts where Clint was at. You know, was like they hung out in the vent, you know, which I'm like, oh, cool, you know. Like she's telling her about Clint, which, you know, we'll talk about. You know, we'll do a separate episode about the post-credit scene. Maybe like a quick, like, you know, 10-minute episode. But she's telling her, it's like, hey, yeah, this guy, you know, like we were BFFs, you know, like we hung out in the vent for 2 weeks. You know, he helped me, you know, become a better person. I'm like, oh, cool. You know, so she's telling, you know, like, hey, you know, this guy's awesome. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man, anything else good or bad before we get into some other stuff?
Not really. I like the themes that were kind of brought up. I love hearing real world stuff
being
brought to our fantasy world when it's done right. And this one kind of did it right. And I feel like they did justice by women and did justice by the storyline of Black Widow. I think that was pretty well done.
I agree. So as Alfredo said, like, when we first started, was money was the big thing. Box office. What was this going to do? I knew it was going to do good. So if you watched our Did We Just Become Best Friends podcast last Thursday, we started talking a little bit about Black Widow and about some of the money. And globally, it did $215 million globally, which was pretty awesome. Like really, really awesome during a pandemic, coming back from the pandemic. And still a lot of like international countries having a lot of issues as well. But it made $80 million domestically, which was really good. I think they were shooting for 90 from what I was reading, but 80 is still not bad. And then $78 million internationally for box office, which is still huge. The only issue is international usually does more money than domestic, so I don't know if, how they feel quite about that. Mm-hmm. But the big one, which I think is that trumps the other two, is Disney's the first company to release their own streaming like numbers. They didn't do it with Cruella. They didn't do it with any of the other Mulan and stuff like that. But they're saying Black Widow made $60 million on premiere access on Disney Plus. That's, you can watch at home, which was insane. And I think like, I gotta look up the details. But I was reading along some of the lines where it was like $20 million alone came from like China.
Damn.
You know, which would be huge, because China's a big market in that. What's that phrase? It 2 days, not weeks. 2 days, not weeks. I don't know which. I don't know which one he was talking about. Sorry, dude. But yeah, it was a pretty big deal, man. And them showing how much they can do just on Disney Plus. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do going forward. Are they going to do something similar to it? Are they going to, you know, run movies for a couple weeks and then throw it on Disney Plus? You know, because that would be not bad either. But yeah, man, $215 million. You know, and that's just the opening weekend.
That's nuts. That's a lot of
money. They were hiding. You said, you said weeks, not days. Oh, yeah, my bad. When Clint and Natasha were hanging out in the vent 2 days.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. But yeah, man. We got what we got there. What do you think about the numbers?
I think the numbers are justified. I think this is a movie that really, really spoke to everyone. And it was just so exciting. So exciting to see. Should have came out sooner, as you said earlier. It really should have. Even on my so when you go to the theater, right, you have the option to buy this nice popcorn tin collectible item.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very nice. They've been doing that for the past few films. And so they're very cheap. They're like, I don't know about cheap, but they're pretty nicely priced for like $20, right? $10? What should we get it?
No. $11.99.
With popcorn. With popcorn. And so, like, one of our Nerd Huddle members, we were kind of having a chat earlier. He mentioned that the whole storyline, the way this kind of played out with Black Widow, was planned to have come out at a later time. And I respectfully disagree. And here's why. Off of just one fact alone. Two facts, actually. One, we're in a pandemic, right? That slowed down the movie industry to its entirety. Everyone was slowed down. Two, even on my tin can popcorn collectible
souvenir,
it even shows that it was manufactured. It says Marvel something 2020, right? Yeah. So usually when you put out those manufacturer labels, you do it a year in advance. So they actually made that and was ready to have that out 2019 so they could sell it 2020, which is when the movie was supposed to come out. And then we end up seeing that people who made these collectibles, they didn't change the date on there. They didn't say, oh, my bad, pandemic 2021. They didn't do that. So we'll show you pictures. Can you,
you
show
it. That even?
See how good my camera is and how good.
There you
it's
go.
It's right. Can't see.
Pull it right there. A little bit.
Yeah, right there.
God, that's blurry. But it says 2020. Just take me for my word. But but yeah, the storyline was not intended, I don't think, at least, to be delayed. I think the fans, if this movie, like you said earlier, Kramer, if this movie would have came out at its intended date, I think it would have even blew these numbers out of the water. It has so much momentum behind this movie that I think fans would have been like, oh my God, it's another Dark Knight. Like, I think it had potential.
Yeah. I mean, they were projecting, like, I'm not even exaggerating, they were projecting $1 billion profit. Like, woo! That's how much this movie would have made, you know, throughout its run in box office before COVID. They were expecting $1 billion. That's a lot of money. But that's where they're at now with these Marvel movies. So for them to take a hit like this, it kind of it really sucks. But also, it's like, you know, I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. Kind of stuff. It should have came out even before 2020. It should have came out, you know, before all that stuff. But
yeah.
Let's get down, man.
To some reviews. Some good
stuff. Let me throw this up here. All right. Want to let us know? Break it down.
Sure. So the way we rate these movies over here at Spoiler Kings is we let you know if the movie was worth watching now, which means that it's one of the best films. You got to watch it or else you'll miss out. We rate it, watch it later, which means that it's a great film, but you can catch it on the fly. No need to watch it right away. Or watch it never, which means the film did not meet our criteria of even being watchable. So what did you think about the film? Where do you think it falls under, huh?
So before I get into mine, Oli said this is a now, all caps, movie. So for me, Black Widow is definitely a now movie. This movie is such a great comeback to the theater kind of movie, or even watch it at home, you know, full blast. I watched it with my surround sound super high, and it was just such a good movie with a lot of emotion, a lot of different themes and ideas to think about. Not just comic booky. It was also very real world. Like, man, you know, these things are happening in the real world. But also, like, it gave a lot of good stuff for the fans as well, you know? So I just thought it was such a great movie, super emotional. I just love Natasha even more after watching this movie. So what about you, man? What do you give it?
So for Black Widow, I really think the story was very, very rich, very deep. They didn't have to go this deep, but they went deep, even to bring up themes of toxic masculinity, I can't even say that word, but the movie did great with the storyline, the character development, making you fall in love with, you know, her sister. Very well done. I think you should watch this movie now. If you don't watch it now, you're gonna miss out on the whole MCU universe that's gonna be told very soon.
Yeah. And then Oli said, can't wait for Hawkeye. Yeah. So if you're watching live, you'll get our thoughts on the post-credit scene. If you're not watching live, you go check out our post-credit breakdown scene of Black Widow. But then talking about critics, what they thought about it. So on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics gave it 80% and the audience is 92%, which are pretty good. I thought the critics would be a little bit better. But just go over a few of the critics from Film Spotting. It goes, to ensure all of our behemoth pop culture franchises become one indistinguishable mass of content, the MCU is now faster and furiouser. Which I don't agree. So that was obviously, you know, he didn't like that one. I think Fast and Furious does the very corny, like, family. It was like, kind of thing. This one was a little bit more in depth, you know, where there's actual issues with the family, you know. But here's a positive one from the Digital Trends. Black Widow exceeds expectations with a fast-moving adventure that finally gives Scarlett Johansson's Avenger the solo chapter she deserves. 100% agree with that one, man. And then just one more from Entertainment Voice. It gives a great female character a stronger treatment than in the previous titles, while at the same time guiding her to the exit. Yes. But yeah, that's some of the critics. And I got to say, her exit was, this was definitely the cherry on top. You know, and that was like one thing. I was like, I felt like she deserved this movie for just the character, deserved this movie. She deserved like everyone to be like, yes, we love her, you know, because when she made the sacrifice and killed herself to get the stone, like Tony Stark got a big, you know, grand finale, farewell, funeral. And then meanwhile, like Hawkeye and Wanda were like, yeah, you know, our loved ones died too. And they're like, yeah, shut up. It's Tony. You know, it was like, mind you, Tony, like the real good is one thing that pissed me off was like Tony after Infinity War, Tony took off and like started his family. He's like, I'm done. F this. Meanwhile, Natasha was to run running the Avengers, making sure everything's still running smoothly worldwide. I mean, even intergalactic with, you know, with Captain Marvel, you know. So it was like Natasha was still running shit even after Tony had checked out. You know, so this is the movie that Black Widow Natasha deserves. Loved it. Any last little thoughts?
No, not much for me. I do say watching it on the big screen is key if you want to get a really, really good experience. I think this is definitely a film to bring you back to the theater for sure.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. Cool, man. But that is it for this week for Spoiler Kings. This is our schedule for everyone here on the Nerd Huddle. Tomorrow we got Panda and Grizzly. They're doing some Bears stuff where they're going to start looking at individual positions and players. Get to know your Chicago Bears. And then Wednesday we got Dynasty Pylon. They're going to start doing some fantasy draft, mock draft, some IDP stuff. So if you're into all your fantasy football, go check them out. Thursdays, we got Dude Just Become Best Friends. We are doing the final episode of Loki. Great, great series. Another Marvel home run. And we're going to talk about the finale of Loki. And then Sunday, we got the Morning Spike. We're getting ready for fantasy football as well. We're going to break down all your running backs, all the stuff you need to know about running backs for your draft. And then the Spoiler Kings next week. I forgot what we're doing next week. I don't have it here with me. But we are doing another movie. I think what's coming out next week?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. Give me 1 second. Having a brain fart. Was it? Oh, here we go. The Space Jam.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be
the big one. So LeBron James is going to come out and with Bugs Bunny and stuff like that. My expectations for that one are not high. But you never know, man.
LeBron James.
There you go. So we got Space Jam with LeBron James.
Can't wait.
Doing that one next week. But yeah, make sure you guys hit that sub button. Follow us on YouTube, on Twitch, and we're over on Spotify, all that good stuff too, on Facebook. Come say hello when we go live for the Space Jam later. But yeah, man, thank you guys for tuning in, checking us out, and we will see you guys next week. Later.